In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Several years ago, I was supervising a seminary intern. One of the tasks that I gave him was to lead a series of adult Bible Sunday school classes, and the topic that he picked was comparing world religions. As he was telling the congregation about it, he said something like, "If you come to this Bible study, you might find out that you are not a Christian, that you are really a Muslim, or perhaps a Hindu, or a Buddhist." I very gently took him aside and told him that in any church I'm a pastor of, no one is going to never, ever, never leave a Bible study thinking that anything but Christianity is the true faith, and Lutheran Christianity at that. Today, I'm going to kind of sort of bend my own rule a little bit. This morning, I want to tell you about another faith, and it is mighty attractive. For starters, this religion accentuates human life. Even animal life is highly valued. It's okay to eat meat, but hunting for sport is discouraged. This faith teaches that human beings are just like the animals, and they see that as a good thing. However, they believe that our good animal instincts have been corrupted by organized religion, which gives us bad ideas and a false sense of spirituality. They say that we are enslaved to silly superstitions and meaningless rituals. That we want to teach, they would say impose, our faith and morals on others has made humans the most dangerous animal of all. Well, hey, we're all for freedom of thought, right? And we all kind of get frustrated with organized religion sometimes, don't we? According to this religion, life is meant to be enjoyed. There is nothing wrong with engaging in any and all pleasures, they say. The church has usually taught moderation in most things, and that abstaining from some things at certain period of times is good for our soul, such as during Lent, which is coming up in 10 days. This religion says hedonism is a good thing, that we should just forget our phony pipe dreams of an afterlife and focus instead on enjoying life in this world. Live for today is a philosophy that has a very big draw. They define sin differently than we do. Sin is defined as non-productive behavior. Conformity, herd mentality, being a follower rather than being a leader, they say, is sin. So is pretentiousness, a false sense of pride and putting on airs. Just being what they consider to be stupid, that's not appreciating art and music or whatever, is also sinful to them. But no specific behaviors are prohibited or called sinful. You can pretty much do whatever you like if you don't hurt anybody else. That's enticing. This faith, in their sacred book, gives practical suggestions for everyday living, and I think you're really going to like these. Do not give opinions or advice unless you're asked. Do not tell your troubles to others unless they really want to hear them. Do not complain about things that you really don't need to subject yourself to. Respect other people when you are in their homes, and if people disrespect you in your home or anywhere, you have the right to be cruel to them. Human beings do not need to be merciful, is what this religion teaches. There is no need to love people who are ungrateful or irresponsible. Forgiveness of flawed people only encourages their weakness and their dependency. People need to be held responsible for their actions, and when they behave ignorantly, they deserve to suffer the consequences. Turning the other cheek is not natural or helpful. Revenge is natural and just. If people persist in annoying you, you have the right to destroy them. How does that jibe with your way of thinking? Is that a religion you could happily be part of? Does it seem to you that that's a good way to live and a good way for society to function? As I thought about it, it seemed to me that these are premises by which most people in the world today actually live, including a lot of Christians. People who live the way I described would probably be very successful and popular. It wouldn't be surprising if they got elected to public office. Many of them have. Thinking about this faith's principles, when I took a good hard look at myself, I was surprised to see how much of that philosophy is reflected in my attitudes and behaviors. Is that true for you too? Especially the stuff about not forgiving and being merciful. In the first lesson, we read how Joseph forgave his brothers who sold him into slavery. Could we do that? That's hard to do. It's much easier to hate, I know. If we see ourselves and our church and the world reflected in the religion that I talked about, that should concern us. Why? These teachings come from the Satanic Bible, the book written by Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. My point, obviously, is not to suggest that Satanists aren't really all that bad. They're just like you to me, and we should take a Satanist to lunch this week. Not saying that. My point is that what much of our society accepts as reasonable attitudes and rational actions, things that we might even celebrate as very Christian, are not truly Christian at all. Jesus says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Satanism says, "Do unto others as they do unto you." We might profess to be Christians, but our actual way of life is satanic, and we don't even see the contradiction. Being satanic doesn't mean just wearing pentagrams and going to black masses. It's an attitude. It's a pattern of behavior. We might say Satanism isn't a religion, it's a relationship, but it's a very different kind of relationship. Just like there are many kinds of Christians, there are many kinds of Satanists. As strange as it sounds, according to Anton LaVey and the Satanic Bible, there is not a supernatural being named Satan. Good old-fashioned Satanists don't believe in the literal existence of God or the devil. We Christians, of course, believe both in God and the devil. Now, over time, Satanism evolved. I think it was in an attempt to increase its appeal. And they do say now that there is a supernatural evil being, and they developed worship rituals, including animal sacrifice. But originally, the idea was that Satan was the personification of our desire for pleasure and the will for power in each of us. Our animal instincts for dominance and gratification. Don't a lot of Christians indulge those longings inside us? What I take from our gospel reading today is that Jesus calls us to live at a higher level of morality based on love than the world can understand. Jesus calls us to a greater exercise of forgiveness than most people are willing to try. To follow Jesus means making personal sacrifices more than just about anyone can tolerate. The life Jesus has in mind for you and me transcends this world's ethics and values. You probably noticed that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, the gospel reading today, is the exact opposite of Satan's way, which of course is usually the world's way. When we compare ourselves to what Jesus wants us to be, we all find ourselves lacking. We are too quick to judge and criticize and too slow to forgive and seek forgiveness. We all give our inner Satan the triumph over and over again. And on our own, we would be eternally lost. Thanks be to God that our salvation is not tied to our sinful natures. Our salvation is all wrapped up in what Jesus has done for us. In a plan of action that Satan just can't understand, Jesus defeated him by going to the cross and dying there so that our sins might be forgiven. Subjecting ourselves to pain, sacrificing our lives for others, loving those who do not deserve to be loved is something that Satan and the world and you and I just can't do, at least not on our own. But Jesus can do it and did, and that makes all the difference. Satanic as we are, Jesus loves us anyway and died that we might have eternal life. That's a truly radical idea. Do you want to be a radical, a rebel, a nonconformist? Do you want to be a leader, not a follower? Then live Jesus' way. That's a rare thing in our world today, or I guess at any time in history. Jesus gives us virtually unlimited second chances in this life to answer his call and to live the way he wants us to live, a life full of love and forgiveness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can learn to live by the Holy Bible, not the satanic Bible. By God's grace, the evil in us can be replaced by good. And we can spearhead the anti-satanic countercultural movement that Jesus is leading. Follow him in the way of love and forgiveness. Amen.